Greetings, girl, and welcome to my world.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad you're here for this one. So many of you have been asking me to do a coronation decode. So let's get into it, shall we? Charles was coronated recently. Let's not call him King Charles because he is not a king. This coronation happened, interestingly, on my birthday, and Charles is now a king, a sovereign leader with not just worldly authority over 56 countries, but really spiritual headship as well. And this really does affect us. It is really important to take a proactive role in this because they do establish, and through these ceremonies, it's like a change of post in perpetuating this stronghold that they have over us on earth, but we get to decide who our headship is. So we need to take an active role in renouncing these spiritual headships wherever you live. This is very actual for me right now because I have been moving so much and I'm getting citizenship in two countries, neither of them the country where I'm born. And where I was born, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, we have a monarchy as well. Younger generations are pretty anti-monarchy, I'd say, especially because of the whole taxation situation. But it's interesting to see that in many cultures, there is this hardcore of people who are really worshiping these monarchs completely. It's like a false idol worship. They really are false gods and idols in our world. And all of that energy that we put into celebrating, worshiping, paying them, because that's ruled by the spirit of Manon. What's very important for our spiritual well-being and purity is that we are not doing that, that we're not feeding into these basically demonic strongholds. So let's go in this episode a little bit more about who his authority is. First of all, who he is, what his role is, and who he is. There's lots of talk about this not being the actual Charles. I will say his face looks very different, but whether it's actual genetic Charles or someone else as a proxy, which is very common in those circles, ultimately, it's about the spirits that they are really hosting. So they're in a covenant with spirits that they serve. And in these rituals, they are changing positions in the hierarchy of who gets to serve and call in these spirits. And they really pledge their allegiance through the symbolism, which you can see, of course, all over their garb. This is ceremonial magic ritual happening. So why don't we all just pull up some pictures of the coronation and just for a moment imagine that we're not from this planet and that we're looking at this whole travesty show phenomenon with fresh eyes. And let's just take a second to assess how absolutely insane and psychotic and lame this all is. It's the same with SatanCon, the satanic conference that I went to a few weeks ago, obviously not as a regular attendee, but to anoint it. We see all of these people together who are involved in occult ceremonial magic and serving these dark spirits. On the one hand, you have to kind of laugh because of how ridiculous and lame it all is and how they look and how they show this allegiance. But we have to remember to just feel compassion for these people because most of them are really possessed and are very troubled hosts of these spirits. And it's extremely addictive being a host to these dark spirits. A very long time ago, I've had one come in and out of me just by accident. It was really, I was at a music festival, which are really rituals as well. And that's also a place where you should actively protect yourself. But they have this very strong energetic charge. So for people who join these circles, not that this is a circle that you can just step into without having the genetics to match it, it is very addictive and it's very hard for these people to get out of it. But when it comes to a monarchy like this, we have to remember that these people are born and bred for these roles, and they have to train their whole life for their occultic career. And all the details need to be right. And that was really funny in this coronation because it was really messy. There were lots of things going wrong, and it was like not everyone was on the same page. Because when a magic ceremony is taking place, and there's usually one above ground that we see and one underground, with this magic, they are really working hard to manipulate natural law. And because it goes against to get the energy flowing in the right way, the way that they need to get the energy moving in certain directions. And this is also the role that their clothing plays. All the colors and the precious metals that you see that conduct these energies and the geometries of all the emblems that they wear, it's all in the details. Now, when it comes to this chaotic element to the coronation, there has been lots of talk the last couple of years that the monarchy has been, let's say, dethroned. There has obviously been a lot of spiritual battle going on. We've seen some of this on the surface with the Prince Andrew situation. There has been this lost monarch popping up in New Zealand who was the righteous heir to the British throne. We've had Harry and Meghan move to a different country. They have been a little bit unstable. We know that. So it's really a sign of lots going on behind the scene, or maybe nothing going on behind the scene anymore at all, because there's also been lots of talk of the palaces being completely empty in the last couple of years. It looks like they're not trying to show it publicly, though, but you can tell that it's kind of a big mess. Now, when we get more into the spiritual occult agenda significance of the coronation, what was really key is that it included new faith leaders, or I should say leaders of other faiths. So what they did was make a very quote-unquote inclusive coronation, which sounds great and appealing and modern and appealing to younger generations, but it's key that they mentioned religions versus religion. So Elizabeth was really the defender of faith in the pledge, but now with him, Charles, he is called the defender of faiths. So all of a sudden there is a switch, which historically is really, really significant because this is all about faith, right? There is a switch to plural religion. Now, what God are we talking about here? Because it's not Yahweh or any aligned creator. So who are they serving, right? What this really is a signifier of is this whole House of One movement that we talked about in the Great Reset / AI podcast episode. It's about pushing one world religion, which is ultimately really just a preparation for Antichrist worship. And the Antichrist sounds very sensational, very Rosemary's Baby, but there is lots of prophecy around it. And what you can think of is just like these people are born and bred, trained for specific occultic roles, there will be one or multiple people trained for the role of Antichrist, which is really like the opposite energy to Christ consciousness in the world. And that's going to be organized in the world institutionally around probably the House of One, but definitely one world religion, which is going to be inclusive. But ultimately, it's not going to be a religion that serves a God that serves us. Let's put it like that. So this figure is going to be a savior, someone who's incredibly popular and really like, almost like a Christ figure, basically. Now, there was an anointing as well that happened. So the technology of anointing was really perverted. Anointing comes from the event of Samuel anointing David. But here it happened behind a screen. They had this big screen up with, again, this tree. So what are they hiding behind that screen? What are we not allowed to see? We need to ask ourselves this. And we really need to renounce his sovereign spiritual leadership. So to learn a little bit more about what they serve, what they believe, let's talk about all the different orders that you can see in the emblems that they wear. Most of these are very ancient bloodline orders. Let's start with the order of Melchizedek. This is not Yeshua's order of Melchizedek, the one that you may have read about in the Bible, but this is their perverted version of it. And they believe that they are the highest or one of the highest orders who serves the spirit. They are the point of entry for these spirits in the world. You can recognize that order by the purple velvet that they wear and the pearls on the robe. So you can see this on King Charles, for example. Then what you can see is the order of the thistle. You can recognize that one by the red ribbons and the sash and the gold chain around the neck. More interesting, I found the order of the garter and the order of the bath. So the Order of the Garter, which interestingly has an ancestor of mine on it, is an over 1,000-year-old Masonic / witchcraft order. Now, you already probably know what Masonry is about and what they serve. So when a monarch is a part of this order and then gets coronated, it gives a dual function in their allegiance, because it's not just to that pseudo-Christianity that they kind of portray to us, but it's also the witchcraft and dark occultic magic. Now, the Order of the Bath, you can recognize by William's clothing. So he has this circular emblem, which is really, it looks like a frame, but it's really a circular snake. So think of the OTO Thelema logo of the Ouroboros. It has a cross inside with three crowns. This means members of the Ninth Circle, who are, just a side note, known for cannibalism. Their motto is 3-in-1. And they have this motto, which means I serve. It's Ich dien in German, which means I serve. So again, what do they serve? It also goes to show that they're all German. The Dutch monarchy is German too. There's even a sentence that goes, I am of German blood, in the Dutch national anthem. It goes that far. It's all about these bloodlines, which have usually German ancestry. Now, these three crowns, this is about, in the highest levels of this order, they have this position that's filled by three women at the same time, and they represent Isis. This is a bad thing, okay? Definitely in their ritualistic beliefs. So you see this trinity represented in Camilla and her two sisters all dressed in white. And it seems kind of random, but it means that they are now functioning in this role together as Grand High Dames. It's also funny, is just taking a look at, just on Wikipedia, you can find lists of members of these orders throughout history. And you'll see the family names like Middleton on there. These are all arranged marriages between bloodlines. So when they tell us this story of, oh, they met in a club, they have the same story about the Dutch quote-unquote king and his wife, who is Argentinian, but also German Nazi family. And you can take one look at our quote-unquote king and know that he has never set foot in a life club in his life. But these are all arranged marriages. Now, the Order of Malta you can recognize by the Maltese cross, which looks almost like a plus sign, and the white ribbons. Now, he is Charles, really the leader of this ecological movement. And there's a really great book about this called The Green Gospel. I talk about this in the episode about AI and the Great Resets, and Klaus Schwab is obviously a major force behind this. And what it really comes down to is turning climate change and environmentalism and stopping global warming at any cost. And the cost is obviously us, because this is all about depopulation and control, climate lockdowns, all of that kind of stuff. It's about turning it into a religion and another way to globally suppress and control. It's this whole "you will eat bugs and own nothing and be happy" philosophy that they already declared. You can read this in the notes of the first meeting of the Club of Rome, as well as in the Georgia Guidestones, which were vandalized recently. So what does this mean in the coronation? It's his agenda. You can see this by the invite, which had Pan on it. So it's a little demon, a green demon head, which represents Satan or Lucifer, but as the Roman pantheistic nature god. So it's all about that green agenda. And now he's able to push it even harder because he's king now. So you will see lots of this really being propagated under him. And in the Netherlands, you already see how all the farmers are being put out of business. It's a huge issue right now. And it's this whole theory about like the cows are farting and it's causing global warming. But when you look at the actual notes and go back to the AI Great Reset episode for this, it's really just about control and pressuring us and taking away our means of creating our own food, so that we all need to get our protein from bugs and GMO foods that are created in these very awful, perverted greenhouse systems, all AI based. Now, let's get a little bit into the coronation chair. First of all, if you ever see a black and white checkered floor, it means it's ritual ground. Witchcraft happens there, whether above or underground. I was really intrigued by the stone, or Jacob's pillow. They call it the Stone of Scone, or Scon, if you've ever watched the Great British Bake Off. But it used to be a part of the coronation chair with the stone. So this is a spiritual altar. It used to belong to Jacob, and it was taken to Ireland by Jeremiah, the prophet. And it's the stone that, Jacob laid on, and God started to speak to him and come to him through this stone. So it was really the first mobile altar where God's presence really came into the earth, which is really significant. And there's also a theory that it's this magical, metallic, perhaps interplanetary meteorite, which is the same for the stone that's in the Kaaba that people like Saturn walk around and create this energy around and feed into. So on Earth, whether it's through these stones or ley lines in the Earth or specific magical objects like the Spear of Destiny, the Philosopher's Stone, all the items that the Nazis were looking for, they have this power in them to act like a portal. The same is the case for all of the jewelry, the specific types of diamonds that they wear in the coronation, in their crown. They're all a part of this technology, which you can see in these natural, whether it's those stones actually have memory in them. They vibrate. But when it comes to the precious metals and their geometries and shapes, it all goes into that very detailed ritual. And they're using the resources that we have on Earth to work with the spiritual realm. And I believe that in all cases, it can be used for good as well as for evil, which this is the perfect example of. So there's this whole mythology around the history of this stone. It was found under the ruins of the castle of Macbeth and then stolen by King Edward in the first Scottish War of Independence. And then it was bombed and it broke in half and it was hidden during the war and stolen back. Because of course the royals, everything that they have and that you see, they got through raping and pillaging. But it also makes you wonder if this Scottish war was really perhaps about this stone. Wouldn't surprise me at all. So they put this stone inside the coronation chair so that the British royals could sit on it and become coronated and act as an intermediary between Earth and the spirits that they serve and harness all of our energy to feed into that connection. Now, the anointing that we spoke about, it happened with this anointing spoon. Didn't seem super interesting to me, except that the spoon had this stylized monster demon on it again. What was interesting was the signet ring. He wears a signet ring that has three ostrich feathers on it, and it looks like a Florentine cross or an octopus, which we could do a whole episode about that and the off-world spirits that they serve and what this represents. But again, it's that Ich dien, in German, it means I serve, motto of the Order of the Bath. And when he was speaking at the World Economic Forum, they had this screen behind him where they showed that same emblem. It was a little bit more modern and stylized. So it actually became like a 666. Looked almost like fireworks in all of these different colors, like rainbow colors, which you know by now what that means. It's referring to Lucifer. It's about the white light of God being broken and fragmented and then splitting off into rainbow colors, very much like that famous record cover of Pink Floyd. And let's also think of the modern movements that are symbolized by the rainbow colors, keeping in mind that the god that they serve is androgynous. So also let's not forget all the documented friendships that they have here in the royal courts in Britain with people like Jimmy Savile. And think about all the children, millions and millions and millions of children that disappeared in Australia and in Canada under their rule. All indigenous children, very hard to trace, but millions and millions of them disappeared. Makes you also wonder what Diana knew and why she passed away. So moral of the story is really renounce spiritually your allegiance to them. Pledge that you don't consent to partaking in any rituals whatsoever. And declare what headship you're under. And think very closely about that choice. I'm not going to put words into your mouth. I used to have lots of religious trauma. So I feel like when I suggest saying Yahweh or whatever resonates with you, it can trigger that resistance. So do this in a way that feels really authentic to you. I hope that you enjoyed this episode and I will see you in the next one. If today's topic really resonates with you, you want to understand the world around us, you want to be able to do your own decodes of everything, understand symbolism, the strongholds that operate, but especially you want to learn your spiritual rights and authorities and tools and weapons and how to actually remove them and create heaven on earth. You want to do this in a group, go on land assignments, and so much more. You basically want training from me to become a spiritual warrior, then my spiritual battle training is for you. It's coming very soon. So make sure that you're subscribed to my newsletter so that you get notified when it opens.